Hey guys, welcome to Broad Street to Britain, a UK Phillies podcast with me, David Shaw, and of course, Alex Carr. Alex, how are you, buddy?
Hello, Dave. Hello, everyone. I'm good. I'm doing well. We are recording this post 12:35 start time, which was an experience to say the least. But I'm feeling good. I'm not too upset about the result of this past series. You know, it's going to be what it's going to be. If you're going to fall behind to, you know, one of the best pitching organizations in baseball, that's what's going to happen to you.
Yeah. We're going to dive into that in a minute. Ryan joins us again. Ryan, how are you, my friend?
Yeah, good. Just, digesting all of the box scores on a big sort of look at it, an overview, and just sort of trying to get to grips with what's happened over the last 3 days. I mean, we spoke on Monday, didn't we, mate? And we were feeling pretty good. And I'm kind of like Alex, I'm not too downbeat right now, and I'm sure we're going to get into that.
Yeah, I did it again, guys, didn't I? I got way ahead of myself last part. I said sweep. I can't believe I predicted a sweep.
Did you say sweep the Brewers?
Alex, the vibes were high. The vibes were super.
Wow. High. Oh, that's right. You guys recorded without me.
Yes.
Ryan, yes. You were working, buddy. You were working. The vibes were really high, which is why I take these losses a little harder, because I'm like, oh man, you know.
That's why we all take the losses a little harder, because you get us pumped up.
I know. And I was even talking about catching the Braves, you know, and
you weren't. Tell me that's not true.
No, that bit is true. I tried to calm him down at that point.
You know, I get sucked right back in. I'm like, we'll win this series. And if we had won this series, we would have made ground on the Braves. But yeah, look, forget about the Braves. Just get in, right, guys? Just get in. That's what I've always said. Yeah. Today's performance was just, you got that feeling in the first two innings that this is going to be a tough grind. Burns looked on it. But it's been the series itself, you know, game one, excellent, you know, rolling straight in off that fantastic weekend, that fantastic series against the Padres. Schwarber straight off the bat, first pitch, 4 Schwarber bombs in 4 games. The Phils take it 4-3. Bohm and Casty with RBIs. Casty broke out of his slump. The Schwarber flying catch. It was looking at Aaron Nola. Aaron Nola, 7.1 innings, 4 hits, 2 earned runs, and Alex, Aaron looked right back to where we want him and need him to be post All-Star break.
I wish I could go off on one of my trademark rants here, but it really just feels like I'm not gonna get through to anybody at this point. All I can really say is that, you know, Philadelphia fans, in particular Phillies fans, just really love to not like people that just simply aren't the problem. And Aaron Nola is not the problem. And he is the same guy he's always been. He's just allowed, you know, 3 to 4 times the amount of home runs he'll typically allow in this span of time. And that's just, you know, there could be a litany of reasons for that. But, you know, I'm just glad that he can get out there and shove despite all of the, you know, cacophonous hatred that seems to be spewed his way, by this fan base sometimes. And not to get too negative about things, Philly fans are the best in the world. But what I have noticed is that on Twitter, people tend to really go hard on people that aren't exactly the big problem. I'm just glad he can get out there and shove despite everything. And he looked incredible. He looked about as good as he's looked all season.
Even though the line
didn't say it.
I mean, Alex, that's crazy. I mean, we're talking about a guy that doesn't have a whip that has gone beyond 1.129 in the last 4 years. I mean, this is elite starting pitching. So any Philly fan that doesn't like Aaron Nola or thinks that he's someone to get on the back of is either not really paying attention or maybe just has a lot of hate in their life. I don't know.
You see, Ryan, there's a classic phrase we use over here called football mentality. And it's not really it's not soccer mentality. It is American football mentality, where everybody thinks that baseball seasons consist of 17 games, like an American football season. And so every time somebody does something wrong, right, unless they are a super big fan favorite, or they were signed for a lot of money, and people kind of just have to tell themselves that that player is good, that player is good, that player is good, they love to get on the back. And it's not just Philadelphia fans, for what it's worth, but people that aren't like actual baseball fans love to get on the backs of guys that, you know, in a convenient amount of time, maybe aren't performing as well, because American football, being the most popular sport in this country, is a season that consists of 17 games. Every single game counts every single week. And if you lose a game that you should have won, it's probably going to impact you down the line. But in baseball, there's 162 of these things, right? You've got so much time to make up for losses that maybe you should have won, or, you know, stretches where maybe, you know, one of your best players wasn't playing so well. But for some reason, you know, and we've seen it with Rhys Hoskins, we're seeing it now with Aaron Nola. For whatever reason, people love to point the blame your way. And it's really odd, and it's really ridiculous. Because, you know, Rhys Hoskins and Aaron Nola, the two homegrown guys from, you know, this last decade of misery in Philadelphia sports, sans, you know, last year, they're the guys. They're the guys that stuck with this team and stuck with the fans to see postseason baseball last year, to be there, to embrace the incredible atmosphere that is Philadelphia in a postseason run. And for some reason, people just love to hate them. And I don't know what it is. Anyway, I said I wasn't going to go on one of my trademark rants, and I'm going on one. So that's great. But, yeah. You know, it's really unfortunate that is what tends to happen to guys that are here just a bit too long and maybe don't perform at 100% all the time. But it is what it is.
Aaron was excellent on Tuesday. Sat down 14 straight. Mm-hmm. And then the top of the fifth got funky. Kyle's incredible diving catch was just unreal. Absolutely unreal, because I thought it had gone initially. And then, unfortunately, he was let down. You know, the double got through. Derek Hall's error at first base again, and then they started scoring. But tie game didn't matter, because yet again, Bryson Stott stepped up. He had a good game, 2 for 4. Another multi-hit game for Bryson Stott. I think that's 31, 32 multi-hit games this year. Alex, Bryson Stott, you know, and the daycare kids in general, since the beginning of June, Stott, Bohm, especially with Bohm's defense.
Don't leave Marsh out.
Brandon Marsh, they've been exceptional since the start of June, and they're really giving us a lot at the bottom of the order.
Yep. Brandon Marsh, since I think it was June 20th or something, is hitting like 400 with a ton of extra base hits. Alec Bohm has obviously turned his entire season around at the plate. He looks fantastic. Finally in the positives in the WAR column, which is great. And then Bryson Stott leading the team in WAR, playing Gold Glove defense. I mean, I put this up on Twitter maybe a couple days ago. Bryson Stott, since I think it's been like 30 games or something, he has more extra base hits than he does strikeouts. That's probably not true after today, because I think he struck out a couple of times today. But, the fact that anybody can do that, the fact that he can do that over any span is a pretty ridiculous statistic. And then, obviously, you know, playing Gold Glove defense, the only guys out there with better, I think it's outs above average and defensive runs saved than him, are Marcus Semien, and there was one other guy. Oh, Nico Hoerner, who is amazing for the Cubs. That's it. So when it comes down to Gold Glove, you know, decisions in the National League, you are probably looking at, you know, Nico Hoerner, Bryson Stott being the top two guys, which is, that's going to be pretty interesting. I don't know.
You're not wrong.
It's going to be a close one, but I mean, Bryson Stott has been incredible over there, and he got off to a rough start to the season too, defensively. So I am really, really, really excited to see how he grows and matures. But most importantly, I think they got to start considering an extension. I'm not going to lie to you. I think that's something that they really should start prioritizing while they can, and while he is maybe not at his utmost value.
Yeah. Ryan, what have you made of the daycare kids just coming out and really stepping up, especially when Turner has been very up and down. Bryce hasn't quite got back to Bryce yet. These three kids have just been consistently great. Their averages are great. Bohm's still the RBI leader at the moment. The defense from all of them has been solid. Alec Bohm, I think, is so underrated outside the Phillies for his defense. Okay, he had an error or made a slight mistake today. Stott's defense is gold glove. Marsh is consistent. Bohm, you know, Arenado, who, you know, Bohm defensively is doing great. You know, he made a fantastic play in game two, made some fantastic plays in the Padres series. You know, with the bat, he's still, it's like I said, RBI leader. He gets on base. The power not quite there yet as where we hoped it would be. But what has your been overall impression of the daycare kids?
They're fun to watch. They're putting at bats together that are in important moments. You know, like whether you believe in clutch or not, I don't know, but they seem to be good under pressure. And that's, you know, in Philly, we've said before, that's a big thing. That's being up in big moments in Philly is not easy. It's a big crowd, very passionate fans, as we've already alluded to. Stott's having a pretty damn good year, let's be honest. I mean, he's hitting .305. He's got 8 homers. He steals bases. I don't get, you know, there's not loads of walks, but he takes enough walks to sort of suggest that with the amount of contact that he makes and the swing is, yeah, I like his swing. I like it. I just get the impression that that's a player that will go from strength to strength, and probably some power will build into that body as he gets used to major league pitching. Not like massive power, but I think he's got an ability to like, to hit for more power than he's currently doing. I could see that, just a slight bump on top of where he is. He's an athletic guy. I don't think any of the three are having like worldy seasons, and it'd be nice to see Alec Bohm add more power, definitely.
Sure.
You know, he's playing third base or first sometimes. You want your corner guys with the big physique like he's got. My worry with him has always been, is there enough power here? I want to see him take the next step, but it's good to see him rounding into form.
Yeah, Bohm as well. Slightly frustrating because Bohm in spring certainly showed like he had made that next step. He was really launching the ball. Launch angle was great. The ball was getting out of the park. And we've seen it at times this year. But the good thing is with that, we know there is more to come from Bohm.
I think so. And it's what's nice for him is he's not under any real threat of leaving the lineup anytime soon. And people do have confidence in him. The fan base do. The coaches do. He should have confidence in himself that he's getting the opportunity. He doesn't need to worry. Like, it's not like hit 10 home runs in the next 2 months or you're gone. Like, that's not the case. He's in the lineup. He is getting this chance to round into the major league player that I think most of us think that he probably can and will.
And Ryan, to your credit, I mean, you talk about being clutch. These both Alec Bohm and Bryson Stott are striking out at under a 17% clip, right? Which is, you know, typically you'd expect a major leaguer to strike out between like 22-25% of the time, right? Like that's where your good hitters are mostly sitting. Bryson Stott, I have the numbers in front of me right now, is striking out at a 15.5% clip. That is like, you know, to put it into context, obviously Luis Arraez is like striking out at like a 5% clip or something. He's ridiculous.
Mental.
But Ronald Acuña Jr. is striking out at like a 12% clip this year. Like that, and he is the hottest hitter on the entire planet, right? So, you know, that is great to see from Bryson Stott. I think the walks will probably come a little bit more because the K percentage is just so low and he knows the zone so well. I think once he cuts down on his free swinging ways, he'll probably start seeing that OBP go up. And then Alec Bohm, he's probably never not going to be a free swinger. But what's great is that when you have a guy with his kind of power that doesn't strike out, I mean, you're looking at a really, really, really good hitter. Should he learn to tap into that pull side and obviously his oppo power is already really, really great. So, you know, you're looking at the guy, and he strikes out at a 16.6% clip, by the way. So those are, I mean, those are elite.
Yeah, they are.
You know, abilities to make contact at the plate. You just hope that their pitch selection, you know, especially in Alec Bohm's case, takes a bit of a step forward. But they're, I mean, they've been amazing. And Brandon Marsh striking out at a 30.7% clip, not exactly what you want to see. However, walking at a 10.5% clip, I think he's still really learning his tool set.
Yeah, but we also have to remember he's been exposed to the left side. The longer he gets exposed to left-handed pitching, the strike rate, the strikeout rate is going to be higher than it would be. Hopefully, as we've discussed, hopefully, whether that, you know, is Rojas spelling him every now and again, or getting someone on the trade market, hopefully someone comes in and helps him in that regard.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, and you know, Pache was giving him that help when he was up, and I think Rojas will do the same. Didn't see Rojas, I don't think, at all, actually, this this series. Get game two, the five.
Well, he played. He played. He came as a sub at the end,
late
the first,
on, didn't he?
First game of the series.
Tonight's defeat has made last night's game more frustrating for me. Just one that got away last night. 5-3 defeat in game two. Sanchez, excellent again, you know, for a fifth starter, just giving you above and beyond what you can expect from a fifth starter. Sanchez, 5 innings, 6 hits allowed, just a 1 earned run. His ERA is down to 3.06. However, his ERA since being recalled is now 2.61. He really has been a massive addition because it's sort of steadied the desperate need that we were in need for a fifth starter. It's now allowed us to look elsewhere, slightly possibly higher up. Let's get a more solid depth piece instead of a desperate fifth starter to fill a hole. Strom, I can't help but feel his workload's catching up with him.
Yep.
The run wasn't charged to him, it was charged to Hoffman, but that was a crucial run allowed to give the Brewers the lead again late on in game two yesterday. And we've mentioned it before, but I really do think it is the workload, as we've seen, which is catching up with him. He's not as – command's not quite as there. The velo's dropping ever so slightly. Bit of fatigue, I think, maybe. Because he's not used – Alex, he's not used this workload already. He has been used a lot and far more than what he's used to in his entire career.
Yeah, and it also doesn't help when you've been as oft injured as he has. You know, his second season really healthy. You know, he's thrust into this. That's been my one complaint about Rob Thomson. Well, I have a few complaints about Rob Thomson, but you know, I think he's the right guy to lead this clubhouse, and I think that's the manager's most important job these days. I really do. So you know, he's obviously he connects well with the players. He keeps a good environment going, right? One big complaint I have is that he's tended to overuse guys. And Strom definitely got pushed to his limit this season. Connor Brogdon was, after Andrew Belotti went down for being used a bit too much, and now he is all over the place. Matt Strom is kind of in that same boat with them. He also just shouldn't be put in those situations, those leverage situations. He's kind of your length guy. And the unfortunate thing is the Phillies are playing really shorthanded right now. Typically, they would have Sir Anthony Dominguez, Jose Alvarado for those bridge, you know, scenarios. Right now, they have Jeff Hoffman, and that's pretty much it. Greg Soto, who's been a little shaky. You know, that's pretty much it. Belotti was not sharp yesterday. Well, he looked okay, you know.
Yeah, two hits, one earned run, one strikeout. But he's just come back from a lengthy rehab, so yeah.
Exactly. So he's getting back there. But they're playing with Dylan Covey on the roster. Dylan Covey is you might as well be playing shorthanded.
Well, for how long? Noah Song is on the verge, isn't he? He's got one last rehab in AAA, and then they're going to have to decide to bring him up or let him go. And I think Kobe's going to be the one who goes
for
Noah Song. That's the talk right now. Is that where they're leaning to, do you reckon?
You're probably correct. I think they'll try and hold on to Kobe as much as long as they can. They'll probably demote somebody like Belotti first. But I think, you know, even then, you're still playing shorthanded. Noah Song is not a guy you want to put into a close game. right? That's not the idea. Yeah, he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be in Dylan Covey's spot, but for as long as they're playing kind of shorthanded, they need to keep these arms around until, you know, their other guys are healed up for a little bit. So, you know, it's not ideal, but it's what they kind of have to do right now. And I'm completely on board, by the way, with them bringing Noah Song in.
Hanging on to Noah Song
is right up there with some of the more important storylines of the season, in my opinion. I think
absolutely.
If you can stash that arm, you are looking great.
And don't forget, Noah Song was one of the top prospects when he initially came on the scene, wasn't he?
Noah Song coming out of the draft was probably the best arm in the draft. That was picked up. He went to Summer League after getting drafted and absolutely blew hitters out of the water. I mean, it was a really, really good profile. And, you know, obviously his service disrupted that, but if he can find his way back, I mean, the spin rates on the fastball look great. That's exactly what you want to see. And then, you know, everything else in the arsenal remains to be seen, but we're going to get a good look at the data for him being a AAA. So that's
going to be. He's getting two innings and then decision time for the Phils because he's got to be reinstated.
Well, the only decision is who goes because he's definitely getting reinstated.
He's coming. And I tell you what, credit to Noah for working hard and getting himself back to where he is now. But credit to the coaches as well because that's a big job to get Noah back to where he is now from not playing at all for the last few years. What a job because he's looked really, really good so far. And from the talk of what we've seen, the brief snippets, people are saying that there's more to come from Noah Song. They don't think he's near the full package of what he can be yet. So it's really could be an addition, a lot like a new signing, you know, like a freebie, you know, no trade, you know, here's Noah Song. If we can get the potential out of him, that could be huge for the bullpen because yesterday was a big time. We miss Alvarado and Dominguez big time. We really did. Soto's been overused a little bit. Not quite the Soto that we know he can be. And that game was screaming for Alvarado, Dominguez, Kimbrel, wasn't it? Just to finish it off for the Phils once they got level. Castellanos got a home run. He broke his cold spell. Schwarber again. Big two-run single delivered to tie the game. And then Sosa, great defense in the top of the seventh to make up for his little error he had earlier in the game. And then Contreras was on a one-man mission for the Brewers. You know, great at the bat, took them the lead. And then a RBI double top of the ninth, extended the lead for him. And then a mighty throw to get Stott out stealing at second base, which was huge. That was the game there and then. And that's still by Stott, by the way. I saw some people, not majority, but some people going, well, why Stott stealing there? That was silly. That steal was bang on. The lead was great. The jump was great. The speed was great. The dive was great. Contreras just nailed him with an absolute bullet throw. Great defense. Stott's out. Phils go on to lose. And then this afternoon, really early game has caught me off guard. 5:30, a bit too early for us as well. I'm not going to lie. You know, still getting back from work. I've got dinner on the table. You know, I'm not
that's not UK time. That's like good for, I don't know, like if you're in the middle of the Atlantic somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, come on. We like our UK-friendly MLB, but 5:30, you know, 12:30 for the guys over there. Come on. We don't need these. The Phils reduced to two hits. Burns, who I said in the last pod, I'd love it if the Brewers had struggled and were out of it and we could have gone for Burns this year with everybody else likely because we saw today, it was just a Burns masterclass. We just couldn't. The way he makes that ball move, yeah, that's the first time I sat down and properly watched him all season. It's unbelievable. Yeah. The boys couldn't read him at all. Yelich, three-run home run. Yelich doing what Yelich does. Walker, six innings, six hits, four earned runs. Not quite the Walker we're used to, is it? That was not...
He was better than that.
And we couldn't... Again, up against one hell of a pitcher. And we just couldn't... We just couldn't do anything, could we? Inevitable feeling from early doors.
Yeah, no... Burns is a weird one because it's not been perfect smooth sailing for him this season, although he seems to have come back out of the All-Star break on fire. That's his second, you know, he's looking good. Interestingly, before today's game, his whip was higher than Aaron Nola's. Just a little technical, but his ERA was lower. So it's all about perceptions. His ERA was lower, probably not giving up as many dingers as Aaron, but just interesting looking at it. But that's not to say that Burns isn't great, because he is. And he'll always, as we're seeing after the All-Star break, he can find a way to turn it on, and he'll have games where he just dominates. And if he's in the zone, he's great. And that, it's frustrating. What's frustrating, not in a major way. I mean, I think what Alex said earlier is true. 162 games, we take one of three against a good team that's winning their division at the moment. Not a great team, but a good team, competent. It's not the end of the world. We didn't get swept. But what is frustrating is that actually most of our starters did okay. I know Walker gave up four earned runs, but it's not a disaster. And what's even more frustrating is that the bullpen actually only gave up two earned runs in the entire series.
That's a good point.
I mean, it's not very often that you give up two earned runs in the entire series and you come away with only one win. You know, that's crazy.
That's a really good point.
It's a great point. And I think
Burns was so good today. I don't think any roster was hitting Burns today.
I think it was just a close series. I mean, I thought the same as you initially, Dave. When I wrote down that the bullpen had only given up two runs, I thought, oh, the offense must have not been cutting it. But when you go back, you know, 12 hits in the first game, 7 hits in the second game, and then struggled against Corbin Burns, which really you could expect any decent lineup to on any given night. So I don't think the Phillies played bad baseball in this series, but I don't think the Brewers played bad baseball either, and that's led to a 2-1 defeat.
The thing about a team like the Brewers is they're not going to make mistakes, right? That's what they're built around. They're built around strong, strong pitching through and through and through. They have a great defense on, you know, the other side of the ball, and they are not going to make mistakes. They are building with the Rays formula, right? The Rays formula is pitching, pitching, pitching.
It is very crazy.
And then you don't make mistakes on defense. You're not going to have a very good offense, but when your key guys get the key hits, like Christian Yelich and William Contreras did, you're going to win. And that's just how it goes, right? They pick their spots and they strike with precision. And Taijuan Walker was great today. The one mistake that he made was, well, there were three. He walked Bryce Turang twice. And then, you know, he allowed that 3-run home run to Christian Yelich. That's it. He was great otherwise. Yeah. But that was the difference, right? That was it.
Alex, the Phillies will pick their spot against the Brewers, and that'll be in the playoffs.
Got it right where they want. That's right. Yes, Ryan, let's bring it back up, boys. But that's exactly you know why they lost this series. They just didn't, you know, they made too many mistakes, and a lot of it was, I mean, on defense. You know, this series was kind of atrocious. Just a lot of like blatant mistakes, right? Edmundo Sosa was just not great at third base in yesterday's game. That probably, you know, threw Chris Sanchez off his game in that, what was it, the second inning where they came out and scored three runs. Either way, the Phillies offense showed some resilience. They've been showing resilience since the end of the All-Star break. It's also all about perceptions. This is the last thing I'll say. They beat the Padres 3-1, right? They got 3 out of 4 against the Padres. That's probably more than anybody expected them to get, right? We expected a split, but you know, realistically, given what their rotation looked like coming out of the All-Star break, that probably wasn't entirely realistic. They did better than a split. They went, you know, they took on Milwaukee just now. They lost, you know, 2 of 3, but that's still a 4-2 record or a 4-3 record coming out of the All-Star break,
which is right? still better like than last year than where we were this time last year
against two very good teams. Like that's just what it's going to be.
The Brewers, I can see why they're up there now. You know, hitting, like Mark from the UK Brew Crew came on last pod and said their biggest concerns are hitting. And at times, their at-bats weren't great either, especially that game one early doors. You thought, oof, they're whiffing a lot at stuff as well, but they seem to settle that down. For me, the biggest frustration is, of course, the bats are on fire against the Padres and in game one, and then they just to go cold, you know, from the high to the low so quick. Is what's frustrating. and the form to go hot to cold. But then saying that, like I said, if you want perception, the Phils are still 27-12 since June the 3rd.
There you go. You
know, we have clawed our way from all the way back to in the playoffs race, which is it's so close. You know, the Reds the Reds beat the Giants. The Giants are now back in play. So actually, the top spot in the wild card is within reach. We're like one game away. You know, the Marlins are in free fall. D-backs were. They've sort of evened out against the Braves in this last series.
Yeah. Funny the Marlins are in free fall.
Yeah.
I remember somebody was praising them quite heavily.
Only a week ago.
Only a week ago. And since then, they've lost six
every
games.
Every game. They've lost every game. Six losses on the bounce. The Reds. The Marlins
will be fine.
I'm not so sure.
I don't.
They won't be fine. They're not going to keep up this progress.
I don't see
they're not going to keep this record. But I think they'll, you know, they're not going to fall behind the Mets. That's not happening.
No, and the Mets getting beat again to the White Sox as we speak. The Marlins are our record's the same. We're in because of the percentage record at the moment. The Marlins, we've got the Marlins next week. That's a massive series on the horizon. Looking ahead, yeah, we're still in the wild card. You know, we're still one game off top spot in the wild card. You know, a lot of baseball to be played. One of those series that it was a close series. We just came up on the wrong side of it with a few more errors, mistakes made compared to the Brewers. 27-12 since June the 3rd. Trade deadline on the horizon. We're just over a week and a half away. Bryce is about to go to first base. They've just got, eight games to decide whether Bryce Harper is going to be good enough and sustainable enough to keep at first base until the end of the season, which will then free up a lot more options. Where do we start with this trade deadline? It's mental. Okay, Soto. Ryan.
It's not happening. It's not
happening. Do you see it happening? So this is, for me, it's still pie in the sky. What do you boys think?
I don't really say. I mean, they're going to want something back in return that's similar to what, you know, they've laid out. I'm not against the Phillies doing it, especially he's arbitration eligible next year, so that they'd get him next season as well, and then I'm sure that they'd be nailing down a contract probably, hopefully even before that. I don't know, I'm trying to extend him, whatever. It's a lot of money to lay out. It just seems implausible that they'd have Harper and Soto on the same team. It seems implausible. It's exactly what the Nationals couldn't even consider. No, I don't think it'll happen. We'd have to give up a lot. I'd love it. You guys know probably by now that my type of baseball player is a patient guy at the plate that knows
mine
the
too.
Zone, that takes walks, that swings when he only swings when he knows he should. I like intelligent baseball players, and he is the definition of an intelligent, incredibly talented mind that goes beyond most of the league, to be honest. I'd love him in a Phillies uniform, but I agree with Alex. It's probably not going to happen.
No, I think Painter going down as well now with Tommy John, which is so unfortunate for Andrew, is probably even scuppered any chance we had of it, because he would have been part of any deal as well, surely.
Yeah, you would have thought so. I mean, they might put Mick Abel in the deal?
Alex is trying to put
this is bed. What kills me. First things first, no one has connected the Phillies and Padres on a Juan Soto trade. Nobody. It's just been conjecture from one specific outlet that loves to do this because it just gets them constant clicks. But it has not been connected by anybody. John Heyman put out one thing about the Phillies pursuing him in free agency, but nobody has connected these two teams on a trade. And the Padres would be idiots.
They ain't selling.
To trade him right now. They are going to sell. They're going to sell. But
do you reckon?
Only
six games back?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. They've been terrible. The chemistry is bad. Everything is just pointing. They're a big down arrow right now. But they're still going to try next year, just like the Cardinals. The Cardinals are not trading Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado. Only if they get blown away by some kind of offer. But that's not happening. These are two teams that are going to try and compete next year. right? These guys, Juan Soto is not a rental. Juan Soto is a guy that they gave up four of the best prospects in baseball for.
Yeah.
They're not just going to turn around and flip him because they're not doing well this year. That's not happening. The other thing is, Juan Soto is trending towards designated hitter more and more every day. The Phillies do not need another designated hitter.
Yeah, because that roster depending is not good.
And they're not getting rid of Kyle Schwarber or anybody else just to put Juan Soto on the field with them. As much, he's the best hitter in the game. He is. I love him. He is my favorite player. But I do not see the fit whatsoever. And the Shohei Ohtani talk is even worse.
I think that's
no sense at all. Because if Shohei Ohtani is going to sign with the Phillies next year, they're going to need an open designated hitter spot. And where the hell is Kyle Schwarber playing when Bryce Harper goes back out to the outfield next year? Is he going to play first base? Because
that's a nightmare. I don't want
that's not happening. So the Shohei Ohtani stuff makes no, and that's not to say that, you know, it should preclude them from, you know, from going after him in free agency. Obviously, you should pursue the best player the planet has ever seen when he hits free agency. But the Phillies are not going to move mountains and trade their entire farm system for 2 months of a guy that is not going to re-sign with them. Wherever Shohei Ohtani goes, if he goes anywhere, he's not re-signing with that team. He's going to free agency. That's happening. So, like, it makes no sense. People are not using their brains. Anyway, sorry.
You feel bad now, Alex?
Woo!
I've been waiting to say it.
I've been waiting to say it for... since the last podcast, it just, nobody's thinking. It's just, oh, I see guy available. I want to throw all my prospects at him, but that's just not happening. It was never happening. No one's even said it's even close to happening.
No.
And the only way that either of those two guys are going anywhere is if they get, you know, some sort of, either of those teams get an offer that blows them away, because the Angels right now are above 500. Why would they trade Shohei Ohtani? Why?
Well, let's go into possibly more realistic and some names that are being thrown around more recently. And Cody Bellinger's name has been mentioned a lot more. Now, I like this. The more and more I think about Cody Bellinger, I was a fan of his. You know, when he first came up, with the Dodgers, and I think he's a lefty, isn't he? He's not a righty. We do need a righty. But Bellinger, for me, can play – well, he can play first. He can play outfield. He gives up versatility. Defense, good. I think the Phillies is a great fit for Bellinger. The more and more I think about it, I don't think we'd have to give up an extortionate amount for him. The Cubs, I think, are definitely sellers. I think if the right offer came into Chicago, they'd take it. But I think Bellinger would sort of thrive in this sort of – team and in this sort of city as well. It is Bellinger's type of city. This is, I don't know. I'm really, the more I think, the more on board I get with this one. Where do you boys see this one going?
It's gonna cost them a something. It's gonna be something. It's gonna be more than your typical rental bat, because he's Cody Bellinger. He's an ex-MVP. And he's having a great season. That being said, he is well overperforming his peripherals, which is concerning. He is also left-handed. He doesn't necessarily fit the lineup construction in that manner. However, he plays an exceptional center field, which gives the Phillies some more flexibility than they already have in terms of having Cody Bellinger in center field and Brandon Marsh in left field. Would be a very interesting... that's a pretty good makeup in terms of how things shake out. But he also plays first base. And he also plays the corner outfield, which is, he fits defensively to a T. He plays everything they could possibly want him to play. That's the first way that he's a great fit. The second way is he's hitting lefties better than he is righties this year, which is fascinating. Obviously, you're not super stoked. That is a smaller sample size, and you're not super stoked to be throwing a bunch of lefties into the same lineup. But the Phillies also have room to add two bats at the trade deadline here. And if they want to add another bat that maybe supplants Brandon Marsh against left-handed pitching, that could be a really interesting way to go about things. If you add one everyday player in Cody Bellinger, and then you add a guy that platoons with Marsh against lefties, all of a sudden you're looking at a pretty decent solution to a problem that was, you know, very it's very potent right now. They are struggling against left-handed pitching. But if you add a lefty that's been good against lefties, and then you add a righty to platoon with your lefty that hasn't been good against lefties, well, then you start really considering what this construction looks like. And also, you know, whoever this righty bat is, they probably replace, you know, Josh Harrison, who, honestly, love the guy, hasn't been good at all this season. So it's going to be really interesting, but I don't think if they acquire Cody Bellinger, he's not going to be the only guy they acquire. I think that it's going to be a very 2021 Braves approach to this deadline.
Yeah, it's good. It's gonna be interesting. I know that, but Holland Ellis can't stay in that lineup too much longer. They're not. We can't win with those two on the lineup. And it's a real shame for Hall. I really wanted Derek to be, you know, the powerhouse coming in, hitting those big bombs, at least playing some good, solid first base. But something just doesn't seem right with Derek. Is it I think it's a confidence thing more than anything. He's making the errors are creeping up. He just looks a bit lost. He just looks a bit lost, and it's sad to see. But you know, let's not write him off yet. Let's see.
No, he could just be one of these sort of, like, you hate to use the phrase, but prototypical quad A player.
Yeah.
You know, he's got the power. There's something there, but it's not quite major league there. You know, I don't want. He could be handy at certain times.
Yeah, it's been hard to watch a little bit. But at the same time, you know, this is a guy that has roster flexibility. He's got minor league options. He's not a guy that you need to give up on anytime soon. He can just be one of those guys that you know, maybe AAA is where he needs to be right now. And you know, he obviously contributed in a big way last year. Hopefully, you know, with a little bit more time, maybe he finds his way into a bench role. Maybe he doesn't. But for the most part, he's probably not going anywhere anytime soon, because there are a lot of, you know, there's some good flexibility that can be done here.
Derek, one of our, of course, last time you were, Alex, we made our Broad Street to Britain hopeful trade pick, Eduardo Rodriguez, hopeful trade player, Eduardo Rodriguez. He had a good outing for the Tigers last time.
Great outing, yeah.
Five innings pitched, three hits allowed, two earned runs, but seven strikeouts. His ERA is now down to 2.70, but like we keep saying, the better he gets, the higher his value is going to raise. And there's a lot of teams chasing pitchers, so I think he's going to be on a few teams' radar. But it'd be great to have Rodriguez come in that pitching rotation.
I still think that there is a real matchup there, and I don't know, his value might have exceeded, you know, where I had him at, you know, just last week. You know, I do think that the Phillies match up exceptionally well with the Tigers right now for a trade. And I think, you know, we just talked about Edmundo Sosa. Maybe he's, you know, a piece that they not dangle. He doesn't have some supreme amount of value, but he could be a piece that interests teams, particularly rebuilding teams that are based primarily around pitching like the Tigers. I think that if you put Edmundo Sosa at second base, when you have Javi Baez at shortstop, that is a really strong up the middle, which could be really interesting. So we talked about Simone Muziati, you know, being a piece that might intrigue them. Maybe Edmundo Sosa intrigues them, and maybe that's a good place to start if you're looking for, you know, Eduardo Rodriguez. If you're looking at, hell, even Michael Lorenzen, right?
Javi Baez?
Yes, Javier Baez is on the Detroit Tigers.
Oh, no.
He's not.
Well, he's a great defender. He sucks at the plate, but he is a great.
You weren't. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Okay.
Oh no, I was not saying he's.
I just heard Javi Baez.
No. He's cooked. He's absolutely cooked. But I'm talking about Detroit. Detroit has no choice, right? They have to play him at short. What they're eventually going to have to do is just bury him in the lineup. But if you can give him a good complimentary piece at second base, you know, they're kind of in limbo at second base right now.
Yeah.
Zach McKinstry's not playing the infield really much anymore. You know, Matt Vierling is doing well over there, but they're in limbo a little bit. So maybe he comes up and fills a hole a little.
Yep.
Who knows?
We've got just on the week and a half to go. There's going to be a lot of rumors until we get to deadline. Looking ahead, which is this weekend, Sir Anthony also has a rehab in AAA this weekend as well. So hopefully we're going to see him coming back up for the hopefully the Pirates series, the Marlins series is on the radar for them. Guardians this weekend, the Guardians, Suarez versus Gavin Williams, who's got a 3.94 ERA.
He's really good.
The pitching looks good from the I don't know.
They are great.
I'm nothing about the Guardians whatsoever.
Just like the Brewers. They are a reskin in the American League of the Brewers. That is what they are.
They are 47-49 in a terrible American Central. Wheeler goes on the Saturday against Tanner Bibby, who has a 3.32 ERA. Their Sunday starter is not decided. Owsley Williams, just looking briefly through the teams. The pitching looks good. I think it's with the bat they've been struggling with, because the starting pitching especially, and the bullpen's not too shabby either.
The bullpen is really good. If you get behind to this team, you are screwed. You are absolutely categorically screwed, because if you get to the ninth inning and Clase is on the mound, you're not winning.
Well, he's a bit like Devin Williams. And that
he's better than Devin Williams. Today. Oh my, he is incredible.
But the Phils are road warriors. The Phils have surprised us on the road more of late this year. We've got this one. Then, of course, we've got the Orioles back at Citizens Bank Park the week after. But, Ryan, this Guardian series, it'd be nice to get back on the road and pick up a series win going into a massive series with the Orioles coming up. But it's going to be tough. This is going to be a grind this weekend, I think.
Yeah, I'm viewing it as like a week and a half here. The next week and a half is Pirates on the road at the back end. We got Guardians on the road at the start. And between
the
those
Orioles
two,
in the middle.
The Orioles is going to be tough. They swing the bat well. They got power aplenty. That's going to be a very tough series. I'd be happy with one win.
Their bullpen is also crazy.
Yeah, Felix Bautista's ridiculous. So I'm looking for a series win against the Guardians and the Pirates. Hopefully we crush the Pirates and pick up a few, get a bit of momentum going there as well. So not going to be easy, but it has to be one that you're looking to win, because they're not great. As you alluded to, the offense isn't great. So let's hope we can get a bit of positivity back and get some people hot. It was nice to see Castellanos, Homer. I'm hoping that Nick finds a way to sort of refine the swing, a bit of form. And the daycare continue to do the job. I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Yeah, Cassidy hit in all three games. One of the few players to hit in all three games. So, it seems like he's now coming out of his very brief cold spell, which we said in the last part it was never going to last that long. Alex, you're right. This Guardians team is a bit like an American League Brewers team. Just looking at everything matches up, really. So, hopefully the Phils have now played the Brewers. They know what to expect coming from the Guardians. And put these errors right. These errors are what costing us. These silly walks, these silly little mistakes, which are getting people on base. Cut that out, and we've got every chance of winning this series.
That's the thing. That's going to be the make or break here, right? These teams, the Guardians, are literally, they are pound for pound what the Brewers are. They have an incredible defense. And, for the most part, all you're really hoping to do is, hit against their pitching and then don't allow this, for lack of a better word, mediocre lineup to score as many runs as you do. That's pretty much the hope. And I know that's a very generic baseball take, but listen, this team is full of speedsters. They're going to try and run all over you, but Jose Ramirez, as long as you can keep him quiet, and Josh Naylor too, I should say. Josh Naylor has been on a heater. But if you can go keep those two bats quiet, you should be fine. However, they're scrappy. Andrés Giménez is going to be running all over you. Amed Rosario sucks. He can still run. Miles Straw, Stephen Kwan is going to get on base at least.
Yeah, Bell's got 46 RBIs this year.
Josh Bell is terrible right now.
Yeah, but we know what happens. These guys come
exactly
up
right.
And just seem to punish us.
Josh Bell has seen the Phillies before.
Exactly.
For certain. So, it's just a team that is going to try as hard as they can to get on base. And when they're on base, they're going to run all over you, right? So you really just have to limit the mistakes. You really have to try and hit some tough pitching. The one thing that they have going for them is a lot of these guys are rookies, right? A lot of these guys, Williams just got called up 3 weeks ago. Tanner Bibby just got called up, in May. right?
Yeah.
You just gotta grind these guys out. They're young, they're really talented, but you gotta try and grind them out. Hopefully they do. But you know, that's, and then they play the Orioles, who are the complete opposite of the Guardians, in that, you know, defense is good, pitching is bad, but the bullpen is good. And then offense is just,
and the Orioles are coming off a series with the Rays this weekend, which is going to be a brilliant series.
They are young. They are this weekend scrappy. They are powerful. They are really, really, really good.
The Orioles are a fun team. Orioles look very fun, really fun team. That should be
not fun to play against.
No, I know. We're gonna find out next week. But the Phils, you know, ever since June's turned, they after a series loss that was against the Nats, the Phils do bounce back. I think they will bounce back. Road Warriors, like we said, let's get back on it. Let's jump on the back on the wagon, because we've got a chance to sort of, all the playoff teams are sort of playing each other again coming up. The Reds have got the Brewers on the horizon, and the Braves, the Giants, I think, have got another playoff team as well. The Padres have just been beat again, so it's knocking them further back. Maybe they will be sellers, yeah. But yeah, you know what? I'm saying, let's take 2 out of 3. It's going to be tough, but the Phils have got to cut out these mistakes, get back to Citizens Bank Park with a series win. Orioles, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen in that one? Then we've got the Pirates and Marlins. The Pirates are in free-for-all. The Marlins, would they have steadied the ship by then? We don't know. So, yeah, you know what? I'm not too down after that series. We've got another stubborn team coming up. Yeah, I need to get to the weekend. Let's get us to the weekend. Get us to this weekend and see what we can do. Because, you know, that series just needs to be forgotten about. The Brewers, done, dusted. We move. Ryan, Alex, we move. Before we wrap up, anything else you boys want to get off your chest?
I'll tell you now, if Alex hasn't got everything he needs to get off his chest then he needs to see someone about it.
I do. Oh, believe me, I'm in therapy. I'm doing great. But
he comes to see me and you, Dave. That's okay. Listen, we listen.
The only thing I want to leave people with is just stop with the Juan Soto stuff. It's not happening. And the fact that anyone even wants to get excited about it is just setting yourself up to be disappointed when Uncle Dave doesn't put what you wanted under the tree. That's just, and now that's not to say he's not going to do something great. I think Dave Dombrowski has been amazing at the trade deadline for his entire Phillies tenure, but he's not bringing you, you know, a new Xbox. He's bringing you a couple games and you're going to like it.
I can't wait till next Wednesday when we sign Soto in.
That would be...
Yeah, the Padres release Juan Soto and he becomes signable. That'll be great.
Can you imagine? I need two things. I need Brighton to get to Philly ASAP, because I cannot handle these pictures of Brighton at City Field yesterday.
I'm going on Sunday.
Oh, what, to one of the Philly
to the doubleheader, to the Newcastle and
Fulham.
And Fulham. Yeah. I'm super excited.
That's gonna be fun. That's really gonna be cool. Anyone who's listening is getting to the link this weekend.
Go, because they're cheap. Go. It's really fun.
Well, the Chelsea Brighton tickets are ludicrous. $118. Yeah. Damn.
That's not even as bad as I thought they'd be. Damn, that's
insane price.
WrestleMania will be cheaper than that.
Yeah, I think it will.
Probably. I wonder why.
The crowd looks super real big for the Brighton game. They've nearly sold out the link, which is impressive.
That's gonna be fun.
But the scenes of the players with the Mets players yesterday and enjoying themselves at City Field was just horrible to wake up to. Capped with a Philly loss to the Brewers. I'm like, this is not a good start to the day. But looking forward to that. Looking forward to this series. And we'll rendezvous next week when we're back on track. I think we'll be back on track. Just a minor blip. We're over it already. For me, guys, thank you so much. Oh, one more thing. We broke the top 5
in the baseball
podcast charts for the first time ever. Up there just behind John Boy in the Athletics pod. And then just proud to see us up there, guys. And long may it continue. Subscriber numbers are going through the roof right now. Listing numbers are going through the roof. So you guys who are listening, thank you so much, because it means a lot. We're just chatting feels, and you guys decide and enjoy listening to us doing it. So, guys, it means a hell of a lot. So thank you so much. It's really appreciated. That is a wrap. For me, it is oh, I'm getting emotional now. I'm flustered. For me, Dave Shaw, it is Ring the Bell from Alex.
Sorry for yelling in your ears, everyone. Ring the bell, Dave.
And from Ryan.
Oh, I'm signing us off. Ring the bell.
Let's go, guys. Come on.